595. The night of the Wednesday before Passover. Last teachings to the apostles. 8th March 1945.
I said to you, be careful, be awake and pray, that your eyes may not become heavy with sleep. But I see that your tired eyes are trying to close and your bodies, even against your will, are anxious to find positions to rest. You are right, my poor friends. Your master has exacted quite a lot of you these last few days, and you are so tired. But in a few hours, by now only few, you will be happy that you have not lost even one moment of my attention for you. You will be glad that you have not refused anything to your Jesus. In any case, this is the last time that I speak to you of sad things. Tomorrow I will speak to you of love and I will work a miracle of total love for you. Prepare yourselves through a great purification to receive it. Oh, how much more it agrees with my ego to speak of love than to speak of punishment. How pleasant it is for me to say I love you. Do come. Throughout my life I have dreamt of this hour. But it is love to speak also of death. It is love because death, for those who love you, is the supreme proof of love. It is love, because preparing dear friends for a misfortune is providence of affection that wants them ready and not dismayed at that hour. It is love, because confiding a secret is proof of holding in high esteem those to whom it is confided. I know that you have harassed John with questions to learn what I said to him when I remained alone with him. And you did not believe that no word was spoken. But it is so. It was enough for me to have someone near me.
Then, why he and not somebody else?
Asks the Iscariot, and he does so in an arrogant, indignant tone. Also Peter, and with him Thomas and Philip say,
yes, why he and not the others?
Would you have liked to be the one? Can you pretend it? It was a fresh clear morning in the month of Adar. I was an unknown wayfarer on the road near the river. Tired, covered with dust, pale with fasting, with an unkempt beard and broken sandals, I looked like a beggar on the roads of the world. He saw me, and he recognized me as the one on whom the dove of the eternal fire had alighted. In that first transfiguration of mine, an atom of my divine brightness must have revealed itself. The eyes of the Baptist, opened by penance, and those preserved angelic by purity, saw what the others did not see. And the pure eyes took that vision into the tabernacle of the heart, and closed it in there, like a pearl in a coffer, when almost after 2 months those eyes looked up at the worn-out wayfarer, his soul recognized me. I was his love. His first and only love. The first and only love is never forgotten. The soul feels it coming, even if it had gone away, it feels it coming from remote distances, and leaps for joy, and awakes the mind, which arouses the flesh, so that they all may take part in the banquet of joy in meeting again, and loving each other. And his trembling lips said to me, I greet you, Lamb of God. Oh, faith of the pure, how great you are! How you overcome all obstacles! He did not know my name. Who was I? Where was I coming from? What was I doing? Was I rich? Was I poor? Was I wise? Was I ignorant? Of what avail to faith is it to know all that? Does it increase or diminish through knowledge? He believed what the precursor had told him. Like a star that by order of the Creator transmigrates from one sky to another, he had parted from his sky, the Baptist, from his constellation, and had come towards his new sky, the Christ, in the constellation of the Lamb. And he is not the biggest star, but he is the purest, and the most beautiful one in the constellation of love. 3 years have gone by since then. Large and small stars joined my constellation, and then they departed from it. Some fell and died. Others have become smoky, because of heavy vapors. But he has remained fixed with his pure light near the pole star. Let me look at his light. Two will be the lights in the darkness of the Christ, Mary and John. But it will be almost impossible for me to see them, so deep will be my sorrow. Let me impress in my eyes these four irises, that are strips of sky between fair eyelashes, to take with me, where no one will be able to come, a remembrance of purity. All the sins. Everything on the shoulders of the man. Oh. Oh, this drop of purity, my mother. John. And I, the three shipwrecked. Persons emerging from the shipwreck of mankind in the sea of sin. It will be the hour in which I, the offspring of David's stock, will say, moaning with David's ancient sigh, my God, turn to look at me. Why have you deserted me? The shouts of the crimes that I have taken upon myself on behalf of everybody are driving me away from you. I am a worm, no longer a man, the dishonor of mankind, the refuse of the populace. And listen to I say I abandoned my body to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who tore at my beard. I did not remove my face from those who insulted me, and covered me with spittle. Listen to David again, many bull calves have surrounded me, many bulls have assailed me. Their jaws are agape to tear me to pieces, like lions tearing and roaring. I am like water that is draining away. And Isaiah completes, I dyed my garments myself. Oh, I am dyeing my garments myself, not with my anger, but with my sorrow and my love for you. Like the two flat stones of the press, they squeeze me and my blood. I am like a pressed bunch of grapes, that was beautiful when it entered the press, and afterwards it is pulp squashed without juice and beauty. And I say with David, my heart is like wax and melts within my chest. Oh, perfect heart of the Son of Man, what are you becoming now? You are like a heart that a long life of revelry has exhausted and enervated. All my vigor has withered. My tongue is sticking to my palate because of fever, heat and agony. And death is advancing in its suffocating, blinding ashes. And there is no mercy either. A pack of hounds surrounds me and bites me. They bite me where I am wounded, and blows strike me where I have been bitten. No part of my body is without pain. My bones creak as they are dislocated through beastly stretching. I do not know where to lay my body. The dreadful crown is a ring of iron that penetrates my head. I am hanging from my pierced hands and feet. Raised up as I am, I show my body to the world, and everybody can count my bones. Be quiet. Be quiet,
says John sobbing.
Say no more. You make us suffer the throes of death,
say his cousins imploringly. Andrew does not speak, but with his head between his knees he is weeping noiselessly. Simon is livid. Peter and James of Zebedee seem to be tortured. Philip, Thomas, and Bartholomew look like three stone statues representing anguish. Judas Iscariot is a gruesome demoniac mask. He looks like a damned person who at last realizes what he has done. With his mouth open to utter a cry that howls inside him, but is stifled in his throat, his eyes wide open and frightened like those of a madman, his cheeks sallow under the brownish veil of his shaven beard, his hair unkempt as he ruffles it now and again with his hand, wet with perspiration and cold, he seems to be on the point of fainting. Matthew, raising his eyes, so far lowered, to seek some assistance in his torture, sees him and says,
Judas, are you not well? Master, Judas is suffering.
And I too,
says Christ.
Not but I am suffering with peace. Become spirits to be able to bear this hour. Anyone who is flesh cannot live it without becoming mad. Once again speaks David, who sees the tortures of his Christ. They are not yet satisfied, and they look at me, they laugh scornfully at me, and they divide my garments among them, and cast lots for my tunic. I am the evildoer. It is their right. Oh, earth, look at your Christ. Recognize him, although he is so consumed. Listen, remember the words of Isaiah and understand why, the great why, he became so, and man was able to kill the word of the Father, reducing him to such a state. He is without beauty and splendor. We saw him. He was not handsome. And we did not love him. Despised like the last of men, he, the man of sorrows and accustomed to suffering, had his face concealed. He was despised, and we took no account of him. This mask of one who is tortured was his beauty as Redeemer. But you, foolish earth, preferred his serene face. He really took our sufferings upon himself, he bore our sorrows. And we looked at him, as if he were a leper, as one cursed by God and despised. He, instead, was injured because of our wickedness. The punishment reserved for us, the punishment that gives us back peace with God, has fallen upon him. Through his wounds we are healed. We had all gone astray like sheep. Each had deviated from the straight path, and the Lord burdened him with the sins of all of us. Those who think that they have done good to themselves and to Israel should undeceive themselves. And likewise those who think they have been stronger than God. And also those who think that they do not have to expiate this sin only because I voluntarily allow them to kill me. I am fulfilling my holy task, my perfect obedience to the Father. But that does not exclude their obedience to Satan and their wicked task. Yes, O Earth, your Redeemer has been sacrificed because he wanted it. He never opened his mouth to utter a word of prayer and thus be spared, or a word to curse his murderers. Like a sheep he let himself be led to the slaughterhouse to be killed, like a lamb that is dumb before its shears. After being captured and condemned he was raised. He will have no offspring. Like a tree he was cut off from the land of the living. God has struck him for the sins of his people. Will no one of his generation on his earth pity him? Will the man cut off from the earth have no children? Oh, I am replying to you, O prophet of your Christ. If my people will have no pity on the innocent man killed, the angels of the heavenly people will pity him. If his virility will have no children in a human way, because his nature could not find union with a mortal body, he will indeed have children, and many of them, according to a procreation that will bring life, not from animal flesh and blood, but from divine love and blood, a procreation of the spirit whereby eternal will be its offspring. And I will also explain to you, O world, that do not understand the prophet, who are the wicked placed at his grave, and the rich man at his death. Consider, O world, whether even one of his murderers had peace and a long life. He, the living one, will soon leave death. But, like leaves that the autumn wind lays one by one in the hollow of a furrow, after detaching them with repeated gusts, they will soon be laid one by one in the ignoble tomb that had been decreed for him. And one who lived for gold, if it were lawful to put an unclean man where the Holy One was, could be laid where there will still be the dampness brought about by the numberless wounds of the victim sacrificed on the mountain. As he was accused, although he was innocent, God avenges him, because there was never perjury in his mouth, or iniquity in his heart. He was consumed by pain. But once consumption has taken place, and his life has been taken for the sacrifice of expiation, his glory will begin with future generations. All the desires and the holy wills of God on his behalf will be accomplished. Because of all the anxiety of his soul, he will see the glory of the true people of God, and will be happy. His heavenly doctrine, which he will seal with his blood, will be the justification of many of the best ones, and he will take upon himself the wickedness of sinners. And that is why this unknown king, whom the wicked mocked at and the best ones did not understand, will have a large multitude, O earth. And with his followers he will divide the spoils of the defeated. He will divide the spoils of strong men, the only judge of the three kingdoms, and of the kingdom. He has deserved everything, because he gave everything. Everything will be delivered to him, because he delivered himself to death, and was numbered with criminals, he who was without sin. Without any other sin except perfect love and infinite goodness. Two sins that the world does not forgive, such a love and goodness, that urged him to take upon himself the sins of many, of the whole world, and to pray for sinners. For all sinners. Also for those through whom he was put to death. I have finished. I have nothing else to say. Everything has been said of what I wanted to tell you of the Messianic prophecies. I have explained them all to you, from my birth to my death, so that you may know me, and have no doubts, and may have no excuses for your sin. And now let us pray together. This is the last evening we can pray. Thus, all united like grapes to the bunch supporting them. Come. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hallowed be thy name. Father, I have hallowed it. Have mercy on your Son. Thy kingdom come. I am dying, in order to establish it. Have mercy on me. Thy will be done. Support my weakness, you who created the flesh of man, and clothe your word with it, that I may obey you down here as I have always obeyed you in heaven. Have mercy on the Son of Man. Give us our bread, a bread for the soul. A bread not of this earth. I do not ask it for myself. I need only your spiritual comfort. But I, the beggar, stretch out my hand for them. Before long it will be pierced and nailed, and it will no longer be able to make a gesture of love. But it can still do it now. Father, grant me to give them the bread that daily fortifies the weakness of the poor children of Adam. They are weak, Father. They are inferior, because they do not have the bread that is strength, the angelical bread, that spiritualizes man, and leads him to be deified in us. Forgive us our trespasses.
Jesus, who has spoken standing, and has prayed with his arms stretched out, now kneels down and raises his arms and face to heaven. A face made wan by the effort of the supplication, and by the kiss of the moon, furrowed by silent tears.
Forgive your son, O Father, if I wronged you in any way. I may also seem imperfect to your perfection, I, your Christ, burdened by flesh. To men, no. My conscious intellect assures me that I have done everything for them. But forgive your Jesus. I also forgive. I forgive, that you may forgive me. How much I have to forgive. How much, and yet I forgive. Those who are present here, the disciples who are absent, those whose hearts are deaf, my enemies, mockers, traitors, killers, deicides. Here, I have forgiven the whole of mankind. With regard to me, O Father, consider remitted all debts of man to the man. I am dying, in order to give your kingdom to everybody, and I do not want the sin against the love incarnate to be imputed to them as condemnation. No? Are you saying no? It is my grief. This no is pouring the first sip of the bitter chalice into my heart. But Father, whom I have always obeyed, I say to you thy will be done. Lead us not into temptation. Oh, if you want, you can drive the demon away from us. He is the temptation that incites flesh, minds, hearts. He is the seducer. Turn him away, Father. Your archangel in our favor. To put to flight him who lays snares for us from our birth to our death. Oh, Holy Father, have mercy on your children. Deliver us from evil. You can. We are weeping here. Heaven is so beautiful and we are afraid of losing it. You say my blood cannot lose it. But I want you to see the man in me, the firstborn of men. I am their brother. I pray for them and with them. Father, mercy. Oh, mercy.
Jesus bends with his face on the ground. He then stands up.
Let us go. Let us say goodbye to one another this evening. It will no longer be possible tomorrow evening. We shall be too upset. And there is no love where there is perturbation. Let us kiss one another with the kiss of peace. Tomorrow each of you will belong to himself. This evening we can still be one for all and all for one.
And he kisses them, one by one, beginning from Peter, then Matthew, Simon, Thomas, Philip, Bartholomew, the Iscariot, his two cousins, James of Zebedee, Andrew and last John, on whom he leans while leaving Gethsemane.